Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Danny's in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. I look at this Kentucky game as a game that we need to win. I know it's going to be rough at Kentucky, but we're healthy as we've been since the first part of the year, and I look at it like we got both our receivers back, our young receivers, and we're pretty much healthy. So I look at it as a game we need to go ahead and win. You think? I do think we need to score a lot of points because I still have no faith in our defense. 35 to 40 points might do it. And this Connor Vanover thing, if they hadn't ruled by now, do you think they're going to make him eligible? Because the season is upon us, right?
That's right. That's right.
He's, 7'3"?
That's right.
And he shoots the three, so that's good. Everything's good about him except the little pebbles hairdo. But anyway, guys, have a good day, and thanks for taking my call.
Well, appreciate your phone call, Danny. As far as the Connor Vanover situation, we've asked Richard Davenport when he's come on. Mm-hmm. We've talked to other people. There's not really a clear answer on why it's taking so long, or if they're leaning one way or the other. I know that Eric Musselman and his team is preparing and acting like he's not going to be eligible, and they're treating it more as a developmental season for Connor Vanover this year. But if the NCAA comes through and makes him eligible, it's going to be obviously a huge bonus. But it is weird, though, that it seems like with the other cases, a lot of other cases, they've been able to move a little more quickly and deciding whether or not a player is eligible. But this one's, you're coming down to the wire here and haven't heard anything. And it's not like he just transferred in 2 weeks ago. He's been around for a while.
Yeah, the NCAA moves at its own pace. This is a team, though, that needs his height. Danny talks about the three-point shooting. You need him for rebounding. You got other guys that can shoot. You got Isaiah Joe, and you got other guys that can take care of perimeter shooting. He's a guy you could add to that, but I'm concerned about their rebounding. And this year when there's, I think, a premium on offensive rebounding in the game. So, particularly when the offensive shot clock is only going to go back to 20 on an offensive rebound or possession staying in the front court. So, a few things this year that are a little bit different. You need a guy in there that can clean the glass a little bit.
Yeah, because
I just wonder, is he body-wise, is he ready to bang around on some of those guys in the SEC? He doesn't have the body of a true five. He is a tall, frail, 7'3" guy,
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is you'd like to have, two 6'10 plus guys, so you'll just have to settle for one 7'3" guy.
It all averages out.
That's right. But as far as his play goes, let's be honest, if you're 7'3", you're going to rebound. It's not like you're still...
You sure hope.
Yeah, because it's going to be tough. There's no doubt about it. And Eric Musselman, he's embracing it. He's saying, listen, we need help. We need help. We need size. It's going to be a tough year to go rebound. But what you're hoping is that Eric Musselman is a good enough and wise enough coach to where he'll say, hey, since we can't rebound, since we won't have the size, this is assuming that Connor Vanover isn't eligible and your tallest guy is going to be like Reggie Chaney at 6'8". Mm-hmm. But instead of saying, all right, it is what it is. We can't get taller this year. So what we're going to do is we're going to take that out of it and concentrate on all the other things that's going to be important that try to make it successful.
If you're Eric Musselman, yeah, you'd love to have him this year, and it'd help get you off to a faster start with your program, and you're off to a great start with recruiting and getting players that weren't even giving you official visits before that are now giving you attention. Things seem to be going well there. Would you rather have Vanover this year or sit him and have him next year? You know that no matter what happens this year, there's a ton of grace period for this season. Nothing that happens this year necessarily on the court is going to create you a problem as a head coach. Wouldn't you rather have him for next year when the clock kind of really starts?
I wouldn't, because I look at it differently from like football, because in basketball, if you got a guy that can get eligible, I mean, he can make that difference right away. And so I don't know. I just, if you can, I get what you're saying, but to me,
next year's the year that people
get
to
play.
Okay, you've got to make the tournaments. You know, the expectation to make the tournament in year two is a much greater expectation.
Mm-hmm. But you also got to keep into consideration too, scholarships. Things of that nature that you got to make sure that your numbers even themselves out. And with the transfer portal, which we know Eric Musselman is a big fan of and likes to utilize, I mean, who knows? This year's roster may look completely and totally different from next year's roster when it comes to basketball. That's just the way the game is.
Well, that's the way Eric Musselman plays the game, at least.
Yeah, but you know what? As long as they win, I think that's what most people are concerned about. So, but as soon as we find out some about Connor Vanover, we'll be sure to pass along the message for sure, because That's been kind of the fascinating thing in this whole deal, is why in the world is it taking so long? Because other guys have been deemed eligible or ineligible, don't really understand. And as far as Danny's other comment about Kentucky and this upcoming game, you know, I thought it was fascinating that he said it, because I feel the same way. If Arkansas scores 28 points in this game, Tommy, they're not going to win. They're not going to win if they score less than 30 points. Now, if they score over 30 points, they got a shot at it. But I just don't have enough faith in Arkansas as a team as a whole, not just it's like a defensive issue, but just the team as a whole, to not be able to score more than 30 points and expect to win.
Is there another defensive or non-offensive touchdown? Because that's been the one thing that's really kind of kept the boat afloat here, is the defense continues to scoop and score, find ways to get to the end zone. Does that streak continue?
It's too difficult to know, man, because you have to rely on not only your guys making plays and getting those turnovers, but also the other team making that mistake by turning the ball over.
Threatening 40 points just solely with your offense, man, they better have worked on a lot of things, particularly the red zone efficiency during that bye week and all this week in order to accomplish that.
So you don't feel at this point in time that the offense is good enough to score 40 without the defense's help?
Do you think this staff and these players, how much ground do you think they could cover in how many practices were you able to have in 2 weeks? 6 or 7, 8 good practices? I mean, you were getting a lot of guys healed up.
Yeah, a lot of them didn't even go full go. I mean, I want to say that they're capable of it, but again, I can't point to anything or any reason why.
And knowing that Kentucky has a really good defensive line,
and Arkansas's offensive line has not been that good, could be a bad matchup. But you agree, though, that if Arkansas is going to win this game, they're going, I mean, it's a kind of a duh statement, but they're going to have to score a lot of points for them to win this game. They can't win in a 17-14 bout.
Well, I mean, we've talked about a lot of development and mainly a lot of it on the offensive side. But you kind of bring up a good topic there. How much better could the defense get during the bye week? Because fundamental tackling has been an issue. And just, you know, getting off the field, being better on third down, being a better overall defense is something that they've got to work on. I mean, Chavis he ain't got much hair left, but he's been pulling out what's left up there. He's had to start growing that beard just to have something else to pull on. I mean, I don't know. I mean, everybody wants to think the game's passing by, he's forgotten how to coach, blah, blah. I don't buy all that. But he's got to figure out a way to do more with less. I know that. What he's doing's not working, not to this point.
Yeah, because you were hoping that John Chavis could come in and just make the defense serviceable. You didn't need to make them top 10, just good enough to where the offense can score enough points and you can keep them.
You know, one thing he has done is, like we've talked about, you know, for all the other shortcomings, we brought this up yesterday. For everything the defense has fallen short on, give them credit for creating points themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, creating turnovers and turning in a score each game. At least if you're going to give up scores, you can create one yourself. And they have done that. So give them credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a game where you've got to feel like, man, if the defense can keep Kentucky to 28 or 31 points, they give you a chance to win the game at least.
Because Arkansas's given up 28 points per game. They're giving up 4 touchdowns a game on average.
Yeah, but take out Portland State and look at the SEC games. Look at it conference game only.
If you're going to take conference games only, yeah, probably, I mean, probably rises a little bit. Of course, I don't know. They still gave up 34 to Colorado State. So, right. But if you're taking that out, it's funny. I didn't even just realize this, but every SEC or the two SEC games, they gave up 31 points each game. Mm-hmm. So 31 points right. per game. So just a little higher. And San Jose State, they gave up 31 points. Mm-hmm. So I guess 31 is the magic number right. there. Which, again, goes back to my point. You have to score more than 30 if you want to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously that's been the bad number for Arkansas. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. David is in South Arkansas. What's going on, David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Since you're talking about defense, my dad and I watch a lot of football, and you're talking about tackling. College, pros, tackling just seems to be a lost art these days. You see defensive guys lower their head and just duck their shoulder, and of course the runner runs over, runs around. You just see arm tackles whiffing, just no fundamental tackling. And I don't know if it starts in high school, if they don't coach it in college, but it just seems to be horribly, horribly prevalent. That tackling is just something, a thing of the past. People just want to hit, want to make a highlight.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It just needs to be coached starting at the very beginning. I said, I love defense. I love a three and out. I love good tackling. It's like my dad says, wrap a guy up, and if his feet ain't on the ground, he ain't going nowhere. Just wrap him up. But it seems like it's not coached anymore. All right, good show, guys. Thanks.
I appreciate it, David. Well, I think there's a few elements to that, and I'm not making excuses for it, but I do believe that the way that football has changed and how tackling is such a lot more difficult thing to do because of the new rules that have put in. And I'm not saying they're bad rules that's been put in, but you know, you can't lead with your helmet near as much. You can't hit certain spots of a certain player. So there is a very small window and such a bang-bang type of thing that where you have to make the tackle and make it to where you don't get a penalty or don't get ejected or anything like that. Because even if it's against the rules, how often are we seeing a targeting penalty? Almost every game, it seems like. At least one that needs to be reviewed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the officials are instructed that if there's any question, flag it and then let the booth figure it out.
Yeah. So it's still very common. But I also see your point, too, where the wrapping up element of it is, you know, that's also something that makes defensive coordinators pull their hair out when you have a guy that's dead to rights, and because you can't get your arms around him, he ends up going for another 10, 15 yards.
I don't know that this explains, Dave, the fundamentals of tackling, because I think your point is very valid. But high school coaches, I think this goes back to the high school level. There used to be a philosophy or a common thought amongst high school coaches 25 years ago that you put your better athletes on defense. And we're going to shut the other team down. And if there was a question whether a guy was a receiver or a corner, he was a corner or he's a safety. If a guy was a left tackle or a defensive lineman, he's a defensive lineman. You know, that was just the way it was because – they figured they could muddle around and figure out a way to score 17 points and beat you 17-14. They didn't care about winning 35-31. You know, they didn't care about high flying. And then in the late 90s, 2000s, the game changed. And now the better athletes are always on the offensive side of the ball. Defense was the first thought, not the afterthought. Today, they start out with offense being the priority and defense kind of being secondary. I think that's the way it is.
Well, if I think football in general has catered and leaned more towards offense just over the past 20 to 30 years because of that fact, because of course offense is what provides the most entertainment, it's what gets the most eyeballs on it, but it also, with what offense is able to provide, is it's been with the hurry up, no huddle offenses, and specifically in college football, but with those types of offenses, with those types of plays, and knowing that just the rules in the game itself cater more towards the offensive side of the ball, that's where you want to have your strength as at. Because if you don't have a good offense, it used to be where defense wins championships. I think there's still something to be said about that. But your offense wins games. And if you don't have a good offense, you're not going to win.
Now, as far as in college, why the fundamental tackling's not there, I can't tell you. Maybe it's not being taught as well at the high school level, but that doesn't explain. I don't have the explanations, but we're not seeing it as well, at least at Arkansas, and I think it around college football. But I think in high school, particularly, and maybe it's just not being taught as well, and then the way the game has changed from trying to make the highlight hits and getting some of that out of the game, but I think the best athletes are being put on the offensive side of the ball now versus defense. And I think 20 or 30 years ago, there was a change somewhere when we went to spread offenses. And now the faster, better athletes on a team are being put to work on the other side of the ball now.
Yeah.
So, hey, do you own apartment complexes, condos, and rental property? Those are great investments. Now make a great decision by calling Trinity Multifamily to help you maximize those investments and maximize your returns. Trinity Multifamily offers full-service property management, marketing, leasing, sales, every bit of it that you need to make your cash flow. Take the hassles and the frustrations out of ownership. Call Trinity Multifamily at 479-452-1817 or go online to learn more about Trinity Multifamily at trinitymultifamily.com. Trinity Multifamily is your teammate in the real estate game.
I have a text message on the Cherokee Casino hotline from the 479, and he brings up a good point. He says, our defense has given our offense a chance to win every game. Our offense likes to go three and out three times in a row, and teams are going to score when you do that. There's not been a single game that our offense hadn't been given a chance to win. And, you know, that's actually a good point. And whoever you are from the 479, be sure to let us know who you are so I can give you credit. But I never have felt like in the three games that Arkansas has lost that I went back on that game and said, man, that was the defense's fault. The defense really let them down in that game. Because even against Ole Miss, the issue, again, and I'm not saying that the defense is without criticism at all, but against Ole Miss, it was 31-17. Your defense was not the issue. Your defense is not what lost you that game. What lost you that game was the inability to move the ball in the first half, and it was too little too late when you tried to make a quarterback change. Against San Jose State, your defense wasn't perfect,
no,
but that wasn't the reason because you threw five interceptions yeah, in that game. Texas A&M, same thing. Your defense was not the reason you lost that game. Your defense played well enough to win. Yeah, they. So with all the criticisms I get at the defense, I get it and I understand it.
And again, I go back to the fact that the defense has scored three touchdowns. Is that right? Three this year?
At least three that I can think of.
So these numbers, you know, just on the surface, you got to factor that in. How poor the offense has played, you know, at times. Because you look at these final numbers and the final scores, and you got to remember the defense scored one of these touchdowns in these games, in three of them.
That's incredible. I mean, that's if your defense is doing that and being able to, at a clip, score
again
almost a touchdown a game themselves.
That's why I go back to the fact that, yeah, 500 yards, giving up 500 yards of passing and some of the things that went on. And some of these games statistically are horrible. I get it. But at least give credit for the defense turning in some scores for you, you know, giving you some field position. You know, they're making amends for some of their mistakes in other ways, at least.
At least they're trying to, right. Yeah. And see, again, that's the impressive thing that what this team has been able to do is to be able to create those turnovers and create it to where they have positions to at least be in those games. And when they're not in these games, your offense just isn't good enough to overcome that. You have to rely on this defense because it's really about the offense stepping up and putting it all full circle back to Kentucky. You have Kentucky this Saturday. I have no reason to believe that with their quarterback situation at Kentucky, with the fact that they don't really have the skill position guys that they had from last year, with the offensive performances that they've put in so far, especially in SEC play, I have no reason to believe that Kentucky is going to score 50 on Arkansas. Now, that would be the most Arkansas thing ever if they scored 50 on them, but they don't have the capability to score 50 on Arkansas. Is it your offense, Arkansas? It's going to be, is your offense prepared to go out and be willing and be successful enough to score over 30 points? Because that's the mark. You have to get over 30 points if you're going to win this game against Kentucky. Not saying that if you score 38 points, you'll win 38-0. But if you score 38, you may have to win at 38-31, 38-34. You're just not to that point as a team to be able to rely solely on just scoring a bunch of points and blowing a team out. Your defense isn't even that good. Your defense is good enough to keep you in the game. Your offense has to be good enough to take advantage of that and be able to be the one that makes the plays at the end. Because until you do that, you're going to see similar results. And if Arkansas fails to do that once again against Kentucky, you're going to see another result where Arkansas ends up losing by a final score of 28-21.
Yeah. Robert on our Facebook live feed watching this morning said, yeah, this defense is really awesome, guys. We're not saying
no.
The defense is awesome.
No.
We're not trying to say that. We're just saying
it's been good enough to keep
you in the game.
Mm-hmm. That's all. This defense is not anywhere close to being an elite defense.
I don't know what's going to happen, John, when they play Auburn in a week.
I don't want to.
I don't know what's going to happen when they actually play some real teams. I mean, some of the elite teams in college football, because they're coming. The Bamas and the LSUs, Auburn. You know, I know Auburn got, I don't know, did Auburn get exposed last week, or did we just find out Florida's pretty good? I don't know. I think Auburn's pretty good.
I think winning on the road in the SEC is tough.
Right. Against good teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think Florida's really good. I think Florida's better than I thought they were.
Certainly looking.
I think Auburn's still good. And now they got a week off in the case of the Reds before they come to Fayetteville. That's wonderful. Wonderful news. You know? So I think that's going to be tough. You know?
But no one's expecting you to win that game.
No, but is that a game where Arkansas's defense can keep them under 50? Because that might be a game they can. Bo Nix, he may burn until November.
I don't know. They haven't played any teams to that caliber yet, so I don't know what they're capable of.
They're capable of taking their frustrations out.
Talking about Auburn?
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about Arkansas.
I'm talking about Auburn.
Arkansas. We haven't seen them go up against an elite offense, so we don't know.
We thought they'd cave against A&M, and they didn't. So, but that's been the nature of that series. So, I don't know.
Well, hey, cross that bridge when you get there.
Right.
Worry about Kentucky.
I'm just saying, they've kept you in these games. Now, I don't know. Again, I don't know what's going to happen when they play the top 10 teams in the country. But so far, the games you've had a chance to win, they've kept you in them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying they're good. We're not saying, hey, this is one of the better defenses in the league. We're not even trying to say they're one of the middle of the pack defenses. We're just saying that's not the reason you're losing these games.
If your offense was consistent in all of the games so far, you'd be 4-1.
When you throw five interceptions in a game, you're not going to win.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if your offense has just been able to show some sort of consistency, you're at minimum 4-1.
Let's just play one clean offensive game and see what happens.
Yeah. And you can't do that and expect to win. So, again, we're not saying the defense is void of any criticism. We're not saying the defense is
elite. Why does everything have to be an extreme anymore?
Because that's the way it is, Tommy. You know that. That's the way of the world. You got to be on one side or the other. And if you're not on one side, that means you hate the other side and you're insulting them.
That's why we need more Ellen DeGeneres, right?
Hey, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Shout out to Ellen.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
What's your beef Wednesday, which I'm really excited about? And I know that a lot of you have been texting in your beefs and tweeting in who you're beefing with. It's basically what you're mad about. I mean, we could just really simplify it. Beef is a little more fun, a little more unique, a little more original. And plus, we love food, and we're big beef people here. We're beefy people here on the Morning Rush. So we are all about having beef and having What's Your Beef Wednesdays. And again, if you want to get in on it, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline. 877-377-6963 is number to call or text in. So without further ado, let's get right into it.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain.
Complaining.
Complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, it is time for What's Your Beef Wednesday, and I'm going to go ahead and kick it off, Tommy. I know that you probably have a great one, because you do. When you travel, you always have a good one, and what you did on Sunday.
I hope mine's all right. We'll see what you think about it.
All right, well, I got a couple, but I got one big one, and that's this whole situation with the NBA and China. And for those of you who have not been following, it's basically been talked about on Golic and Wingo. I know they have been really discussing it a lot here recently. If you turn on any sports station, you're looking at Twitter or anything like that, and you read these articles and dealing with what the NBA and China is going through right now. Essentially, the Houston Rockets general manager, Daryl Morey, with all the stuff that's going on in China, And there's protesters in Hong Kong. You got democratic protesters that are in favor of democracy, and they're being suppressed by the Chinese government. It's not a very good situation over there in China. And it's a government that obviously is very much against speaking out or having a difference of opinion out there. You know, the whole free speech thing isn't big out in China. Well, Rockets general manager Daryl Morey has come out, or this is a few days ago, and said something to the extent of being in support of democracy and how he's in favor of those protesters and he supports those protesters and what they're trying to do for their freedom of speech.
What a creep.
I know. Horrible, awful.
In favor of democracy. What a creep.
It's just absolutely awful. Which, when that tweet came out, I can't believe it was controversial in any regard. No. I figure like...
Who could be against that?
Yeah. Who is against democracy? Who is against that? Well, I don't know if anybody's against it, but what we do know is that the NBA and China need each other financially. Or at least NBA relies on China a lot financially. The NBA is very popular in China. When it comes to TV, when it comes to the actual games, when it comes to the shoe deals, all of that, very popular in the state of China. Well, when this comment came out, China was not happy. They were not happy with that comment made by Daryl Morey, going so far as to the extent of canceling some games from the NBA, taking them off TV, canceling the NBA Cares event that was supposed to be going on in Shanghai with the Los Angeles Lakers. They're just all up in arms because of this tweet of Daryl Morey having the audacity to come out against the Chinese government in support of democracy. Couldn't believe it. Well, how you would think this would be handled, and this is really where my beef comes into play, how you think this would be handled by Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, and coaches and players, and all those who are big voices in the NBA would be like, we support Daryl Morey. We do not agree with what's going on in China. We do not agree with the way that they're handling their people and how they're coming out and trying to suppress their freedoms. We agree with Daryl Morey, and we stick next to him because that would be the moral thing to do. But we know more than anything that the NBA is a business.
Yeah.
And it's about the money. So instead of them coming out in support of Daryl Morey, it's been more of them trying to talk both sides of their mouth while saying, we appreciate him exercising his freedom of speech in America. However, we're going to apologize to all you in China because he doesn't need to be saying those things. We don't stand for that. We don't agree with that. We don't agree with how he handled it. We're sticking up for you. We're fine. Which can't happen because this is the corner that has backed themselves into with the NBA. When Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich and LeBron James and all these figures in the NBA have had strong stances politically and have not been afraid to voice their displeasure and their disagreement with American politics, or even Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, who went so far to take NBA events out of North Carolina because of the bathroom bill. They took such a strong stance against that.
The NBA's been a leader in these kind of causes, we'll just say. Is that the nicest way to put it?
Yes. But when it comes to democracy in China, when it comes to showing support for democracy in China and support for a general manager who sent out a tweet in support of the protesters in Hong Kong, you remain silent, which goes back to the whole thing, and my beef is with the NBA. You talk all this big game about how it's bigger than the game. We're not going to shut up and dribble. We're going to come out, and we are going to be real ambassadors of the game and showcase that, you know, we are voices too. We are people too, and we're going to extend those voices out. You talk all that big game, but when it comes down to your bank book, you remain silent. So don't sit there and, you know, get after the NFL because they decided to go against the Colin Kaepernick deal and say, that's not good for business. We don't want him around. You were quick to criticize the NFL.
That's a good point.
But the NBA, instead of coming out and saying, we take a strong stance against this type of deal and this type of government and the type of way that they treat people. No, because at the end of the day, it's about your bottom line. It's about your bank book. And that's my beef, is with the NBA trying to say that they're all big about these issues, but instead of coming out strong against it, you went along with the money. That's my beef.
Well, I mean, the hypocrisy.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's just overwhelming. And and how you could not defend democracy. When someone's in support of democracy, when this country's all about that, I mean, I get that you're trying to protect your financial interests, but we're talking about people losing their lives.
Yes.
Because of the tyranny of government.
Yeah. This isn't just an issue of political differences as far as, you know, any hot button issue in America today. I mean, you're talking about actual suppression, actual voices being canceled in government. I just can't believe that we are in a place now in this country where it's like we don't stand up against that. Because it goes against the money. It goes against the bank. I get it, but I don't agree with it. I think it's awful, and shame on the NBA for taking this stance. But unfortunately, listen, you can't change it back. You can't say, oh, no, we're sorry. We didn't mean it that way. We stand with Daryl Morey now. You can't do that anymore. It's already water under the bridge. So, anyway, that's my beef for today, was with the NBA.
All right, let me tackle a bigger issue than what John has here for us. Rally towels.
Now that's the biggest issue
Let me get to the big stuff.
Tell me about rally towels.
Hey, you
Tommy.
Always know it's a big deal when you're going to a game and they're handing out like rally towels. You know what I mean?
The things you wave around.
Right.
Yeah.
My issue's not the towels themselves. So I go to game 3 of the NLDS in St. Louis on Sunday, and they've got red rally towels. These are awesome. It says Go Cards. Yeah. They're sponsored by Phillips 66. Got their logo on them. These are great.
Something you can take home.
Yeah, I got a memento from the NLDS. Hopefully the Cards win today, and that's not the only memento from this postseason. My beef is when people don't understand when to use said rally towel. And maybe this becomes from my lack of verticality. But listen, There's twofold to this beef here today. First of all, you need to know when to stand, because baseball's not a sport like football per se, where people will stand like the whole game. And I don't understand that you paid for a seat, but you know, at St. Louis, they do it the Cardinal way. They do it the right way, and I know you love that, John.
Oh yeah, the Cardinal way.
They have comfortable chair back seats that are well cushioned. They are very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you paid handsomely for that seat. There's a good part of the game you'd like to use that seat so you can see. You know, baseball's a game you want to sit and watch a lot of.
Yeah.
Now, 3-2 count, two strikes on the batter. You know, you're trying to. That's when you want to stand and use the rally towel, right?
Mm-hmm.
My beef is with a guy who wants to stand up in front of you on a 2-1 pitch and use rally towel. Or doesn't understand how to use rally towel, and he gets it wrapped around his arm because he doesn't understand that it doesn't go in a circle around your wrist. He doesn't understand the intended use of said rally towel.
Did you teach him?
No, his buddies were bigger than my buddies.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, you need to have some courtesy at these games. Particularly when you paid good money for good seats. Don't be the only guy. I mean, look around. Have some awareness. You're the only dude standing up in your section. Because it's the same guy at church that jumps up on the first chord of the music, and now everybody in church has to stand up, you know. Well, same thing at the ball game. It's a 2-1 pitch, and you jump up. Now everybody in the section 145 has got to jump up because no one can see, you know. Don't be that guy. Start waving around your rally. It's a 2-1 pitch, dude. Wait till it's full count. Wait till it's at least a 2-2 pitch, right? Not a 2-1 pitch. That's two balls, one strike. We don't need the rally towel till we got two strikes and we're trying to get the guy out. Understand the game a little bit.
Was he drunk?
No, it's like third inning.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that's
bad. He was just a little exuberant to be there.
He's a fan, you know. He's excited, and he wanted to use his rally towel.
Again,
Tommy,
there's a time to be excited and to exercise the use of the rally towel. Then there's a time that, you know, you can't overuse it, John, or then it loses all meaning.
I understand.
When you're the only guy in the section using the rally towel, you probably don't need to be using the rally towel.
I understand. And listen, I would be probably in the same boat, and I would be having the beef that you're having right now if I was
sit
in your situation.
Sit down so I can sit in my $240 seat here, right?
Yeah. We need some written rules because it's all unwritten. We need some written rules when it comes to standing and sitting at sporting events. Because I feel like you could have a whole set of rules that if people just followed, you would not have any of the issues.
I'm not against standing at games.
No.
In the right moment. But you got to save your inner. I mean, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint through
these
things. That's
right. That's right. I mean, save it for the big moments.
Right.
Save your energy.
I want to relax. I want to drink my $11 beer. It was $11 for a draft beer.
How many ounces? Probably.
Probably 16.
Was it worth
maybe.
It?
Maybe.
Was it worth it?
Maybe 16. Well, I mean, what? I didn't have another choice. I guess it was.
Well, I didn't know if they, you know, had some Cardinal Ritas or something like that.
It went well with the $9 hot dog I had to go with it.
Boy, you know? So you got out of there like a bandit there for only $20 for a beer and a hot dog.
It's like $9.50 for a Coke or $11 for the beer. Give me the beer, you know?
Yeah, good grief. Well, they need to make money there, too. Right. Got to keep the lights on there at Busch Stadium. But no, I'm serious, though. We need to have written rules about these unwritten rules about standing, because there's been situations, too, and I know you've been in this situation, Tommy, where you're at a football game and everyone's sitting down in the section.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
One brosif decides to stand up and just, and he's not doing anything, just standing there. And I'm like, have some self-awareness. And the rule should be, and I feel like this is fair, Tommy, if the person in front of you is standing up, you stand up. Because that way, everyone starts standing up.
Right.
If the person in front of you starts standing up, then you stand up. But there's also the other side of it,
the reverse of that works, too. The person
who's sitting down, who's sitting there screaming at everybody, sit down.
In front.
Oh, my goodness. Listen.
Yeah, you got to have some awareness of what's going on behind you.
Yes. And I don't think that's too much to ask, is to have some freaking awareness. It's simple. I mean, when I'm out in the hog pen over there at Bomb Stadium, they have it nailed. Because if you're standing up, they're like, if you want to get up and move, do it between batters or between innings.
Yep.
And when you do it, you better get moving. But if you stand up and he's in the windup and you stand up, you're looking for a fight.
Yeah.
That's the way it needs to be.
I know you don't like Cardinal fans for whatever reason, but they're good fans because, like, when people would get up and it was during the inning, these people they're so crazy. If they were in the aisle and during a pitch, they'd duck down. They'd kneel down in the aisle so that people could see. And then once the pitch was, they get up and they move back down and then duck down.
Now, is that a Cardinal fan thing, or is that just these particular individuals were pretty courteous?
I don't know. You don't see that at every ballpark.
You saw three of them. Cardinal fans, the greatest right there.
Broad brush.
Good grief. No, but listen, there needs to be
doing
some rules.
The Cardinal way.
No, stop. I can't stand that.
11-time world champion.
I can't stand it. They, you know, like, because they do it the way that apparently when they win a championship, when they win
the
world
standard,
when they win a World Series title, it means double than what it would if anybody else won it.
Right.
That's dumb. That's a dumb thing. Why is that a thing? You're going to get me in trouble with all the people coming after me on Twitter. You know. By the way, if you ever want a good Twitter account, follow Best Fans St. Louis. They always have a good time with that. So we got a few people tweeting in. By the way, that was a good beef, by the way, Tommy. You know, I appreciate it.
The same guy that jumps up for no reason, I know his daughter probably attends my church, because there's always that 20-something that on the third row that has had too many Red Bulls before church or something, too many cups of coffee.
What kind of church are you going to?
And third chord of the first song jumps up, and then you can see all the old people begrudgingly, gotta stand up.
People like you?
Yeah.
Begrudgingly having
to
stand
for
up?
24 minutes of music.
Oh, good grief. The worst. The worst type of thing. That's the thing, is when you brought it up, I was like, okay, sporting events, I get it. Even movie theaters, if somebody stands up right in the middle in front of you like to walk out, and it's really annoying. But church?
Yeah.
Never heard of that issue. People standing up. It's usually a call to action.
No. Common.
Well, I learned something now today, so don't go to church with Tommy. People start standing up.
Don't go to church with Tommy.
Yeah,
get right with the Lord.
Jackson and Harrison says his beef is with the guys that think that they know all the rules regarding rally towels and yell at me for using mine on a 2-1 count at the top of the third. So apparently Jackson and Harrison may have been that guy that was upsetting you.
Sit down. Sit down.
Where were your seats at? Were they good seats?
They weren't bad.
Okay.
They were actually perfect because it was overcast day. We thought it was going to rain, and they were just underneath the overhang at the top of the lower level. They were perfect seats between home plate and first, like even with the pitching mound. Perfect.
Still lost, though.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, if you're going
to
give
the reminder,
well, if you're
going
to start,
I'd almost
going,
forgotten.
If you're going to go after me with the Cardinal way crap, then I'm going to say, make sure to remind you that you
I'm
lost.
Going a little overboard because I
know.
Listen, I watched about three Cardinal games all year. I like the Cardinals, but I'm just not in on, you know, don't have time to watch all these baseball games anymore.
Yeah. Hey, at least we admit
it. I like
it. At least I do. You know, I know you
do
too.
I like going to games. I like going to St. Louis. It's a cool town.
Hey, listen, I like going to baseball games. And if I got invited to a Cardinals game, I'd probably go.
And let me tell you one other thing that's kind of taken my time away from being all in. Because I used to be all in on the Cardinals and the Braves. Is Arkansas baseball.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I watch, you know, there's 56 regular season games, and I watch 45, 50 of those. Not just because, I mean, I'm all in on Arkansas. That's taken away some of my time to watch professional baseball and some of my desire, honestly. I'm more about SEC and Arkansas baseball.
That's games you can go to.
Games
it's games
I go
you can
to,
enjoy.
It's more affordable. It's easy to get to. And I'm more passionate about it.
It's a lot more fun.
Yeah.
I mean, well, depends on what you think in fun, but it's a lot more fun for me.
And they win more often.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And Baum Stadium's a beautiful place to go to. I mean, yeah.
Absolutely. And the beer in $11.
Yeah. How many people can fit in Busch Stadium? What's the capacity?
48, okay. Something like that.
Yeah, because I think the Dodgers still have the biggest stadium in baseball. My whole point, though, is that as popular as baseball is, though, it still doesn't have the capacities of football. And I've always found that pretty fascinating, too, is just – you know, if for a playoff game, for instance, if the Cardinals were in the World Series, could you fit a football stadium full of fans trying to go? Like if you
probably
were,
for a World Series, yeah.
Like say if you were having it, and I'm just throwing it out there, saying if you had it at Jerry World or something like that, could you pack it out? That'd be my ultimate question is just how many people could get there. But I understand it. But hey, I learned something. Cardinal way. Give me a break.
The Cardinal way.
Give me a break.
11-time world champions.
When was the last time you guys won it?
11.
All right. That's well, still not as far as I'd like it to be, but yes. Fairly recent.
Hey, as the calendar winds down, Williams Tractor is winding up the savings during the True Blue Savings event going on right now at Williams Tractor. Take advantage of 0% financing, cashback savings, and other year-end specials on select New Holland tractors, hay and forage products, and material handling equipment. Get in on all the True Blue savings right now at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers.
Tyler in Greenwood texted into the Cherokee Casino hotline saying he was drunk when the Pirates and Cardinals game started earlier this season. He had to bend over and get searched because his steel-toed boots sounded off the metal detectors. Is that your beef from, like, earlier this season?
I'm not sure how all that information goes together. But
I don't know either.
It's actually a story I want to know more about.
Tyler, give us a follow-up on that text messages and clarify some
things.
How
did things work out?
Yeah, well, what was going on there? Chester and Cotter says...
What kind of search was this?
Good grief. Chester and Cotter says, he's with me. His dream season is for the Cardinals to finish 0-162. Well, that's not going to happen. Hey, listen, I understand we're in Cardinal country, too. There's a bunch of Cardinal fans around here. So, Jared Muldrow says Cardinal Stadium... 45,518 people, specifically.
Go.
So, yeah. But you were close. You're pretty sure.
I knew it was 40-something. I didn't have it down to the actual seat.
Yeah. Also, Andy in Mountain Home texts in and says, Tommy, sadly, in today's society, there is no such thing as self-awareness.
That's
with you.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Because it's not even just in the moments of these baseball games and people standing up. I mean, just self-awareness in general. Like, how is it that we have come so far in sporting events, but yet we have been unable to establish rules for fans?
We're living, as George Costanza said, we're living in a society here.
Yes, exactly. Why are there not rules for things like that?
Exactly.
How have we made it this far without rules, without more fights? Think how much nicer it would be if we had.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Ty Richardson, all in studio with you today. And thank you, as always, for making us a part of your morning this morning, where we are brought to you by Burton Pools and Spas.
You know, the weather has turned perfect for a hot spring spa in your backyard. Make a hot spring spa part of your day-to-day routine and discover what it means to get more out of each day. Let me tell you, the pros at Burton Pools and Spas can show you the right model for you and your family's needs. There's different models with different features. You can add a lot of the different features to any of the models, whether you want music built in, saltwater models. But let me tell you, no matter what model you choose, you're not going to find more quality or a better spa anywhere on the market than a hot spring spa. So if you want the best, if you want to get your money's worth, if you want the most energy efficient, you want a hot spring spa. And right now, they've got an instant rebate of up to $1,000 on the purchase of select hot spring spas. Check these out in Springdale and in Fort Smith at Burton Pools and Spas. More details are online at burtonpools.com. Burton Pools and Spas is your source for backyard fun.
Arkansas and Kentucky take on each other at Kroger Field in Lexington this Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Game will be on the SEC Network as both teams looking to try to get something turned around. Both teams 2-3, 0-4 in conference. Arkansas's 0-2, and of course, Kentucky is 0-3. And we're going to talk about the matchup from the Kentucky perspective as we welcome in Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Jack, really appreciate you joining this morning, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing well. We're trying to make sense out of this matchup because, listen, if Arkansas plays Mississippi State or Ole Miss or whoever, we're pretty familiar because they play each other every single season. But Arkansas has not played Kentucky since 2012. So it's been quite some time that these two teams have played against each other, and it just happened to coming at a point to where both teams are struggling this season. Just your overall takeaways and your feeling about this matchup between these two teams.
Yeah, it's definitely a point of desperation for both teams, but you know, Kentucky in particular, it's coming off three massive losses. They were right there in position to beat Florida, who is looking every bit of a top 10 team right now, and it just seems like ever since then the wheels have fallen off. Horrible injury luck and about as crucial a position as you could possibly look for. I think Kentucky's in a position right now where their back's up against the wall, and to risk the season completely, the wheels falling off on the season completely, this is a must-win scenario for Kentucky right now.
Let's talk through the quarterback position. Obviously, that's been, you know, a lot of ups and downs this year for Kentucky. Where do you have a Sawyer Smith coming off the bye week? Is he going to be ready to go for this game? What's the quarterback spot look like for the Wildcats this week?
Well, if you talk to Mark Stoops, he's not going to tell you. He's trying to keep this as close to vest as possible. They are working in Lynn Bowden at the quarterback position. He played quarterback in high school, played it really well. He's definitely a dynamic threat back there, but he's as you guys know, Kentucky star wide receiver. So he's a guy that I think they are kind of secretly trying to get into position where he is capable of running this offense from start to finish, not just in spot roles as he has been doing. Sawyer Smith, I think Stoop said last week that he is battling through three injuries right now. I know he's battling through a wrist and an elbow or maybe even a shoulder and maybe a shoulder and wrist. But then he said there's also a lower limb extremity that's hurting him as well. So he is definitely banged up. Supposedly Stoops gave him the entire week off last week and he didn't pick up a football once. So as far as I know, he's planning on being back to at least 90-95% health physically, but mentally, things have not looked well with him at all over the last 2 weeks. He had such a hot start coming in after Terry Wilson went down against Eastern Michigan and had a phenomenal first half against Florida, and then it just seems like ever since then he's been a walking three and out. So I would not be shocked in the slightest if Lynn Bowden runs out there to start the game on Saturday.
Obviously, Kentucky's coming off a great season, a 10-win season from last year, and I know a lot of fans were excited about it, and this year's not starting off according to plan. But just give us a basis for those who maybe not have been able to watch a lot of Kentucky football this season. Losing these three games, what's kind of been the main reason? Has it been unable to move the ball? Has it been just the injuries? I mean, what have been the reasons why Kentucky has struggled in these three straight losses?
Well, you bring up last year, and you can kind of pinpoint it right there. Benny Snell was a walking first down, a walking touchdown. He was able to, he was just the absolute perfect crutch to lean on in third and short situations, goal line situations. you just always relied on him to convert. So, you know, you didn't really think about that reliability when he left. You know, you saw the big numbers and you knew you were going to miss that. But, you know, there was a crucial fourth and one against Florida that had Kentucky converted it, they would have been put in position to score a touchdown, potentially win that game. And then at that point, who knows how this season would have gone. But ever since then, I think Kentucky is one of the worst third down conversion teams, very horrendous on fourth down. And that is something that has been just crucial for this Kentucky offense. But yeah, it's just been a lack of you know, production offensively. They're not able to move the chains at all. I mean, it just kind of, they have playmakers, they have major weapons. It's just been the fact that there's been nobody throwing the ball because Sawyer Smith's banged up, Terry Wilson's out for the year. Walker Wood was our technically third on the depth chart and at the quarterback position, but he's battling through, I think, two shoulder surgeries, so he's in no position to come in the game. So, yeah, this is a game that they are going to try to do something to switch things up because their formula over the last several weeks is just not working.
How's this team spent the bye week? Is it mainly about getting healthy? Because we've spent a lot of time talking about injuries. You get Arkansas, which seems like you know, you can't really throw the must-win card out, but then you get Georgia. Then there appears to be, at least on paper, a lot of winnable games. Kentucky's still got a bowl game in its sights, or at least getting bowl eligible. What's the mindset, and how's the bye week gone?
Yeah, Stoops has definitely stressed throughout the week and then last week that the bye week was 100% dedicated to getting healthy, getting the guys that are, you know, 50, 60, 70% back up to 100%, getting guys like Sawyer Smith, who was just, I mean, if you saw him against South Carolina last week, he had just no business being in the game. He was just grimacing every time he took a hit or threw the ball. He was just so uncomfortable back there. So it has been 100% dedicated to getting guys healthy, just kind of clearing their minds and going, okay, three straight losses. This is going about as horribly as it could possibly go. Let's just, we know that this is a team that has the talent to win 8 or 9 games this season. They are a very, very talented group, but they're playing like a team that's only going to win 5 or 6. So I think they just wanted to clear them, their mind, go clean slate and go, all right, we got through the rough patch to start the season. Why don't we get a win against Auburn or against Arkansas, move forward and try to capitalize on some wins with a favorable schedule to close out the year.
Speaking with Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio via the Cherokee Casino Hotline right now on the Morning Rush. Jack, it's always difficult to win on the road in the SEC. We all know that. But this particular game for Arkansas, I know something that they've been looking at from the fan perspective is that it is going to be the night where Jared Lorenzen is honored after his tragic passing, an icon, really, in Kentucky football. Are you expecting the atmosphere, based on that alone, to be a really crazy, great atmosphere for a night game for the SEC? I know the team isn't doing probably as well as what a lot of people were hoping, but are you expecting a big-time atmosphere for the Jared Lorenzen night?
I do. I am. The loss of Jared Lorenzen was one that definitely shook the fan base. It was one that shook the program up pretty hard. A lot of the media members, KSR he was part of the KSR pregame show on a weekly basis. He did a couple podcasts with us, so he was a guy that touched so many lives. You know, he was a fan favorite for however many years. You know, while he was playing. Afterward, because he was so close with the media and always wanted to put his face out there, the team brought him out every Saturday to kind of hype up the crowd going into fourth quarters because he was just this larger than life figure in the Bluegrass State. Everybody loved him. You know, opposing fans. We've had so many media members and former players, former coaches reach out and say, you know, this is a guy that it was just impossible to cheer against. So this is. The day that a Kentucky versus Arkansas matchup, especially given the circumstances, is definitely not a game that would usually put butts in seats. But this is definitely the day that, you know, kind of came at pretty good time, you know, pretty solid time for the fan base because it's going to give them something to rally around. Jared's family is going to be there. I know Terry Wilson was planning on actually wearing number 22 to start the year. for this game, but now that he's injured, I don't know if whoever they roll out at quarterback will be wearing the 22 jersey. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be something that the fan base is planning on rallying around for sure.
Certainly should be a special night. A year ago, Kentucky's defense was stellar. 16.8 points per game, one of the best in the country statistically, good enough that Matt House, who was the defensive coordinator, got a job with the Kansas City Chiefs. Brad White's now the defensive coordinator there. How has that transition gone defensively up front? Kentucky has been very good. What can Arkansas expect this week starting up front with the Wildcat defense?
Yeah, it's kind of funny that Brad White was, you know, Josh Allen is a guy that has been super outspoken about his love for Brad White and how he actually said that Brad White is the reason that he turned into kind of developed from a fringe first round pick to a top 10 pick. He said that that last year for him, he was able to take that next step and be the dominant force that he kind of knew he could be potential wise. So it's kind of funny seeing the flack Brad White is getting because of, you know, they've been banged up in the secondary and, you know, growing pains of losing four starters in the secondary. But in terms of up front, that is easily where Kentucky on paper is the most talented. They have a tremendous, tremendous talent pass rushing. Our linebackers between Cash Daniel, Chris Oates, DeAndre Square is one of the best linebackers in the entire SEC. So they have a lot of playmakers in that front seven. Last week they struggled a good bit against South Carolina. I don't know if it was just the fact that Kentucky was had so many three and outs that they just got tired it was a bend but don't break type situation. They were just trying to get off the field, but their front seven is definitely impressive.
Jack, I want to ask you about Mark Stoops and the success that he's had at Kentucky, because from 2013 on, he had to take over a really tough situation, went 2-10 in his first year, and just ended up building it into something that I know has been very respectable in the SEC. If you look at Arkansas right now, Chad Morris had to take over a pretty tough situation, goes 2-10 in his first mm-hmm. year, and they're trying to figure things out. And it's really frustrating for Razorback fans because, you know, there's times where they want to jump ship, but there's times they still want to believe. When you were looking at Mark Stoops and the success that he's been able to have at Kentucky, what was the patience like for Mark Stoops from the fans? What was that direction like? And what was it also like being able to see the things and why people believe that this was the guy for the job? What did they see in the early going of his coaching tenure where they figured out that, yeah, this guy is going to be able to get it going?
Yeah, great question. When Stoops actually was brought in, funny thing is he actually he kind of came in, saw what was left in the cupboard for him from the Joker Phillips era, and he actually immediately started telling recruits, this is going to be a pretty horrible year. This is, you know, don't. His message to recruits was, don't look at the win-loss column. Look at how we are competing in games. Look at how we're putting ourselves in position to just compete. Look at the fight. Look at the heart. Look at the fundamental differences. Even though this is still a 2-10 win team on paper, as they ended up being, just look at the fundamental differences from the past to the present and what we're doing moving forward. And it won a lot of recruits over, and a lot of it was just based on trust and kind of the UK coaching staff selling a dream to these recruits and saying, I know it looks bad right now, but these are our dreams. We have massive SEC championship title dreams, and everybody kind of looked at the UK like they were crazy, and they were able to turn that into what you saw last year. Last year was a monumental season for this Kentucky program, best in 40 years. It was definitely. It was incredible to watch just the transformation of a 2-10 program to a 5-7 program to a 7-5 program to a 10-win program. So yeah, it's definitely one that you just gotta that patience just has to be there and trust the Stoops mindset from day one has not changed from what it is right now. He's a guy that he has implemented the exact same style, exact same offense, exact same style defense. He's just been able to incorporate better playmakers on both sides of the ball, and he has turned this program into a, you know, they're still not trying to knock down more barriers and reach that upper tier of the SEC. But where the difference from day one to right now, it's something that the Kentucky fan base is definitely appreciative of.
Maybe if we had as much bourbon as you guys, we'd have more patience. Maybe that's what we need. We need more bourbon.
We went through a lot of that, I promise.
All right. What are two or three things that got to go the Wildcats' way to have success over Arkansas? And what are two or three of the pivotal things in this game this week you'll be looking for to see how it goes early?
Quarterback position. One, you know, that is easily the biggest takeaway. If Kentucky can put any semblance of a competent offense out there, whether it be led by Lynn Bowden. He came in at the end of the South Carolina game and looked pretty phenomenal, to be totally honest. If he's back there, get the ball moving, get the ball into the end zone a couple times, that'd be absolutely massive. Like we said, front seven has to improve. Last week they had a pretty horrendous performance. They have to live up to the potential that they all have. And then the running back position. I think A.J. Rose, he has kind of wanted to take the offense over in the backfield, but he's been very inconsistent. I believe 2 weeks ago he had a pretty phenomenal game against Mississippi State and then followed it up with a pretty lackluster performance against South Carolina. Chris Rodriguez is a redshirt freshman that played pretty well against South Carolina. So some type of consistency back there. I think those are the three big elements of this game that Kentucky fans definitely need to look at if they want to pull out a victory on Saturday.
All right, real quick before we let you get out of here, Jack, is Kentucky basketball going to be any good this year?
I think just a little bit. Yeah, this is Kentucky just had their pro day this past weekend, and they have a lot of shooters, a lot of playmakers. Man, there were a lot of questions about UK only having three scholarship big men. With Nate Sestina, Nick Richards, and EJ Montgomery, but all three looked the part in this pro day. There's a lot of rumblings that a backcourt of Tyrese Maxey and Ashton Hagans can be one of the best in the SEC. A lot of shooters, a lot of playmakers. It's definitely going to be a fun season.
What does Calipari or just the people around Kentucky think about this pay-for-play laws or all these laws that people are passing?
It was funny, at media day, he actually sat down and didn't let anybody answer a question first. He said, "All right, now I know everybody's going to ask me about this. I just want you guys to know that I was out recruiting. I was on the plane when this bill passed. I haven't gotten the chance to look it over, so please don't ask me any questions about it. I really am not comfortable talking about this on a public forum." About four questions later, somebody said, you know, kind of hinted at it, but wouldn't. And then he went on a full-on rant. Yeah, I think guys should have the opportunity to make money for themselves, and he was definitely hinted at being a strong advocate of it. He didn't go out of his way to say that he was a supporter of the bill, but he's a supporter of the bill. I remember either last media day or two media days ago, he said something along the lines of guys need to be able to make money off of them, their own name and likeness, and he was definitely a strong supporter of that back then. So I don't know why he's changing his tune right now on a public level. He's been all over the place with that, but behind the scenes, I can assure you he's the guy that supports this bill.
Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio, really appreciate you hopping on with us this morning. Jack, enjoy this weekend's game, man, and I'm sure we'll be catching up with you around basketball season, all right?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, man. Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Him and all guests join us via the Cherokee Casino Hotline.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.